Hello, and welcome to the Frontier Strategy Group podcast series. FSG is the leading information services provider for emerging market executives. We partner with business leaders and more than 200 multinationals by providing them with research, analytical tools, and data that help power their emerging market business strategies. Today's conversation will be about economic trends in Russia's regions and what they mean for multinationals. My name is Vanda Mitrovic, and I'm the Commercial Associate at Frontier Strategy Group. Joining me for today's conversation is Martina Bojajeva, Associate Practice Leader for Central and Eastern Europe, and author of our latest report on Russia, which looks into how the economy is performing at the regional level. As a reminder, this research and all of our content is available via our portal at portal.frontierstrategygroup.com. Martina, we've heard a lot about the economic slowdown in Russia on the national level. Why did you decide to look at the economy on a subnational level?
There are really three reasons for that. One is the size of the of Russia, both geographically and also in terms of the diversity of the regions in the country, economically, politically, geographically, etc. Another reason is because a vast majority of our clients are starting to operate outside of Moscow and St. Petersburg, in one region or in many, and so their presence maps to Russia's larger geography rather than just those two urban centers. And then the third reason is that despite the slowdown overall in Russia, we do believe that there are pockets of opportunity, and some of these pockets are actually geographical. So we wanted to look at where they are and point them out to our clients.
And what kind of surprising trends or insights did the subnational level analysis reveal, Martina?
I think the most clear insight that we saw, having looked at the data, was that the slowdown we've been observing in Russia this year is here to stay. And it's probably going to persist through next year as well. In some parts of the country, it will probably get worse. And that would be something we wanted our clients to know about so they can get ahead of it in terms of how they're planning. We found three main trends on the subnational level. The first trend is that the pockets of growth that are there are mostly driven by one-off factors. These would be things like the Olympic Games that are going to happen in Sochi in a few months. There's been a lot of investment in the southern region because of that, in infrastructure, in industrial production, a lot of government subsidies going in there as well. In the Far East, some of the economic data was very good for the first half of this year, largely because there was a big APEC summit in Vladivostok. And so there was some very large infrastructure projects that were happening in that region this year, which drove the performance of that region. But those really are one-off investments. So the question we're asking ourselves is, what happens when those are over? And they're going to be over pretty soon. The second trend that we saw was the fact that leading federal districts and then regions within those federal districts are underperforming. So, for example, Central Russia, which is the powerhouse of the country overall, is underperforming and stagnating. Regions in the Urals federal district are also stagnating, and those are big industrial regions. That, for us, is also a disconcerting trend, given the importance that these districts have for the country's overall economic performance. And then the third trend that we found is that the slowdown in growth that we've seen is actually geographically dispersed. So what we found is that in every federal district, you have a few regions that might be doing very well, but then you have a large number that are not doing so well. Some really stagnating and struggling, others just kind of holding on at a very low level of growth. And so we can't really say that Russia's slowdown is insulated to a particular part of the country. It's across the geography of Russia.
This is quite interesting, Martina. And what does it mean for companies that are selling to businesses?
For companies selling to businesses, there are a few implications. One is that they need to map out where their customers are geographically, because what they're going to start to see is that some businesses, especially small and medium enterprises in regions that are struggling, are going to increasingly have less money to spend, frankly. On the other hand, there are regions that are doing very well, where you're seeing a lot of that investment going. So if you're looking for fast growth next year, it probably makes a lot of sense to focus more of your resources on capturing opportunity in these fast-growing regions, and then also looking at how to protect your business in regions that are struggling. Also in regions that are struggling, it could be important to understand that competition might increasingly be on price, where local businesses, if they have money to invest, might only be able to invest it in lower cost products. So then differentiating yourself through your strong brand, through after-sales support, through technical expertise and quality of products could be very, very important, and it might require additional resources in marketing, for example, or training up your distributors to really represent what your brand stands for. And then in terms of looking out for next year, for companies selling to businesses, it will be important to track industrial production growth and also corporate profitability data, both of which are available on the regional level for the large part, and quite frequently updated. So what those will be able to tell you is there growth in terms of production in these regions? Are local businesses doing well demand-wise? And are they doing well financially? Both of those will be proxy indicators for future demand in those regions.
We saw that consumer demand has been holding up relatively well so far this year. Does the regional level analysis indicate that this may change, perhaps?
Yes, that was one of the interesting things we found out when we looked at the sub-regional data. The headline numbers for consumer demand in Russia look pretty good. Unemployment is relatively low. You're seeing real income growth still being quite strong this year, despite slowing from last year. But then when you look down on the subnational level, you're starting to see patches of very problematic regions where these headline numbers actually don't tell you what's going on in those regions. Just to give you an example, unemployment was above the national average in 49 out of Russia's 83 regions. So the majority of regions are actually having higher unemployment, and there are some regions with double-digit unemployment, despite the relatively reassuring national number. So those will be places where, obviously, consumer purchasing power will be lower. Speaking of purchasing power, we looked at real income growth patterns across all the regions, and we found that even though overall real income growth was about 4% this year so far compared to last year, in 27 regions, it was below 2%. And actually, in more than a dozen, it went down. So real incomes decreased in a number of Russian regions. That tells you that as you put these patterns together, you will be seeing regions that will be struggling from a consumer demand perspective as well going into next year. And that although the overall national trend might be more moderate in terms of the slowdown, there will be areas where the slowdown will be much sharper.
In your analysis, you also look at the health of regional governments. Why did you discuss this, and what are some of your findings?
This is very important for any of our clients who are selling to regional governments, especially for healthcare companies. So we've had a lot of conversations with some of our healthcare clients in the past few months about what this trend means for demand for their products and also for how to actually capture these sales, given that they're increasingly decentralized. To give a little bit of context, the federal government has decentralized some spending responsibilities to regional governments, but it has not decentralized revenue collection proportionately, which means that regional governments now are responsible for more spending, but they don't have more sources of revenue to fund that spending. And just to give you some numbers behind it, so far this year, regional government revenues overall have been down 5%, and their expenditures have been up 3%. So they're spending more and they have less money to spend at the same time. This has resulted in rising debt, so they're taking on debt, but more importantly, it has implications for the actual process of purchases. Because they have less resources to work with than obligations to fulfill, they're going to start to make choices about what funding to actually spend on what. And what we're starting to see is that things like social services, salaries for public sector employees are going to be first priority because they have a political context to them. Whereas things like investment, for example, infrastructure, whatever else you think, purchases of non-essential medicines, medical devices, things that are more long-term are going to be postponed depending on the health of the regional government. So what we've done in our report is we've looked at some of these trends in a little bit more detail, and also we've looked at which governments are doing worse. Not everybody is struggling, but there's a growing number of regions who are going to have to make these trade-offs, and this is going to have direct implications for sales for multinationals going into next year as well.
These numbers sound really interesting, and our clients would probably want to access the data behind your piece. Is this available, and how can they receive it?
Yes, the data for the piece is mostly sourced from the Russian Statistical Service's website. What we did is we put it all together in an Excel spreadsheet, and we translated it into English. If you wanted to see the data for every region, for all the indicators that we have looked at in our report, you can do that by just emailing your account manager, and they will send you the spreadsheet on.
Great, Martina. And how does this research fit into FSG's broader support for clients on Russia?
It fits in the sense that on the tracking side, obviously we help our clients understand what's going on in Russia on a monthly basis through the monthly market monitors, and then quarterly as well through our quarterly market reviews. This is meant to give a little bit more context to both of those, and to also give them a head start on 2014. What we've seen happening in 2013 and these regional trends are things that are going to impact next year's performance. So that should hopefully help on the planning side of things. On the strategy side of things, clients can use this piece together with some of the work we've done on city prioritization for Russia, as well as on regional expansion strategies. So if you were thinking about going into new regions next year, of course it's important to look at the overall size and attractiveness and the business environment in those regions. And this piece can also help you map the economic health of those regions onto it. Obviously, a region can be very large and attractive, but if it's in recession, you probably would want to know that when you're going through your analysis. So this will hopefully add another layer to your assessment.
Thank you very much, Martina. As a reminder to our clients, you can speak with Martina or any of the FSG analysts at any time by simply reaching out via our account manager or directly. You can also access this full report and all FSG content on our portal at portal.frontierstrategygroup.com. This concludes our podcast. Until next time, we wish you great outperformance in your emerging markets.